I have frankly found the Army really leaning forward on the entire energy resilience, energy security, conservation, attempting to control costs. Now, of course, we do have some budget issues. Going back to the Budget Control Act, we have about our FY18 request is about $2 billion. I wish we could get more, but we'll make good use of the approximate $2 billion that we're requesting.
And what does that $2 billion go into mostly? You know, I don't think a lot of people are 100% familiar with, you know, energy resiliency and things like that. So would you mind just explaining that a little bit?
About half of that, the majority of our $2 billion for our installations is to pay the electric and the natural gas and the water bill. In FY16, the Army spent approximately $1.1 billion on facilities energy, and it happens to be the largest in the Department of Defense, and agency by agency, that happens to be the largest across the entire federal government. And in context, if you were to go way back to FY03, you know, through lots of great efforts in the Army has been able to bring its energy consumption on installations down by 25%. However, the cost during the same period has gone up by 35%.
And what about that other half of the budget? Where does that kind of go into?
That's things like helping to fund a program called Utilities Privatization, some of our work on performance contracts, some of the sustainment and repair funding for our utility systems, as well as a program called the Energy Resilience and Conservation Investment Program. Those are the main areas that make up the $2 billion.
And now you said, you know, you would like to have more, and obviously the Army's not going to turn off the lights on its facilities. So where would those investments kind of go if you could have a little bit more money, and how much more would you like to work with if you had an ideal world with a Congress that can pass a budget?
There's certainly a need to do more with respect to modernizing equipment and things like that. So due to the lack of direct funding, what the Army is doing, similar to all the other federal agencies, is using performance contracting. There's the energy savings performance contracts and utility energy service contracts. And that's where essentially we're hiring an energy company to come in and analyze, do work that saves energy. And essentially we use, for no money up front, the company's actually going out and borrowing money, getting the work done. And then we, of course, need to pay them back, and we use that slice of savings because the new and improved equipment has decreased our utility bill and also decreased our maintenance bill by a little bit. So there's that sliver of savings. And there's special legislation for the federal government that allows us to do that for buildings. We can't do that for equipment or vehicles, but for buildings. And we can work these deals with up to a 25-year payback. So along those lines, there was a presidential performance contracting challenge that the last president had in place. It was initially a $2 billion challenge focused on this program, and it then became a $4 billion challenge. So the president had asked all federal agencies to execute, you know, $4 billion. And just as an example, I had mentioned before how I found the Army really leaning forward and doing lots of the right things already. So in this instance, the Army, all by its lonesome, executed $1.1 billion of the $4 billion overall challenge to all federal agencies. So obviously a real leader in this area.
I wanted to kind of move into the renewable kind of things. You know, that's in some ways can be a cost saver. You know, what kind of initiatives are the Army pushing for or working with to try and save energy and also save cost?
We're focused on that. I mean, renewables, we have an office that actually works directly for me. It's the Office of Energy Initiatives that is laser focused on renewable and alternative energy. And now, I would tell you that the focus is providing energy security at our installation. So we're doing this not only because it's renewable energy. We're doing this because we're focused on supporting and enabling the mission at our Army installation. So So I'd mentioned to you before that the Army's using direct appropriations, performance contracting, and private investment. So this is an area where we've been pretty successful in attracting private investment. So by that, what I mean by that is we've got a third party that's coming in and at their cost designing, constructing, and operating typically a distributed generation source. The Army is only having to foot a little bit of the cost to do some of the National Environmental Policy Act work and the real estate work and some things like that. So let me give you an example of kind of the premier example of, the, of one of those projects is out in Hawaii on the island of Oahu. So here's the way the deal works. The deal is between the Army and Hawaiian Electric Company. So why would Hawaiian Electric Company want to enter into such a deal? Well, they need some more generation capacity out on that island. We were able to offer them a little bit of land. It's actually 10 acres. So we're letting them use 10 acres. I think it's for a 35-year period. And in return, what Hawaiian Electric Company is doing is designing, constructing, and will operate a 50-megawatt biofuel-capable power generation plant. And during normal operations, they will use it to provide power during peak power situations where their grid on that island needs power. It's biofuel-capable. It is the only generation plant located above the tsunami strike zone on that island. All the other plants are located right along the coast. So if there was a tsunami situation, the rest of the plants would most likely be down. This plant has, I believe, 5 days of storage on site and has access to probably another 30 days on island. Now, what the Army is getting out of this is we have an agreement in a if their grid was to go down or a contingency situation, after we'd have to manually close some switches and do some safety checks, but after about 2 hours, this plant could be turned inward and power 100% of the Army's requirements at Schofield Barracks, the Wheeler Airfield, and the Kania site, as well as have enough electricity to power a local community hospital.